Well, amen. Good to see each one of you here tonight, and glad to be home for at least one day. And in the service, we have been busy and busy. I want to thank the pastor for allowing me to preach tonight, and I'll be glad to see him. Amen? We'll be glad to see him. Really will. I want to thank the church for your prayer support and for your financial support. I really appreciate it. It's great. I don't know what to say except thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. Last week, we were in Burlington, Iowa with Brother Mick Hall and Miss Leah, and we preached Sunday through Wednesday. We had a great missions conference, really did, tremendous time, and he's doing a very, very good job, just a good job. And I found the secret to little Edie, and that is M&M's. Just take a bag of M&M's, and she'll be your friend, I'm telling you. We had a great time. We really did. A couple of young men made a decision and prayed and trusted Christ. We had just a good attendance all week. And it was just a good service. He's doing a good work. He's got some folks that have come from the Methodist Church. You know, the Methodist Church, they're following this LGBTQRST-:, all that nonsense. And so he has, down here on the front row, he had a couple big black guys. And I didn't know if they were bodyguards or hitmen or what they were. They're sitting down in front. And he told me later they have come from the Methodist Church, conservative Methodist, because they don't like what's going on in the Methodist Church. And I'd say something and they'd go, amen. And it reverberated all over the auditorium. Amen. Okay. We had a great time. We really did. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter 5. And I want to be a help and a blessing. I hope it can be. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Again, I want to say thank you, church, for your help and encouragement. We'll be gone this Sunday to Marion, Indiana, and then the next Sunday to Warsaw, Indiana, and then the next Sunday someplace else, and so forth until June. I think we have one Sunday open, and some guy called and said, do you have that Sunday open? Well, I want to say no real bad. But haven't answered him yet, so anyway. Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. Would you stand, please? We'll read two verses, have prayer, and then get the message that the Lord's laid on our heart. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, there's a colon there. That means the thought hasn't been completed. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, grace greater than all our sin. Grace greater than all our sin. Father, I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. I do pray that you would give preacher and Mrs. Angel rest and some time. Bring them back safely to us, we pray. Father, we pray, we ask that you would bless them. And then, Lord, we pray for those families, the lost loved ones. Father, I pray that you'd comfort them. And as we preach on grace tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd give them great grace. Lord, we ask. And then, Father, we ask that you would help me as I preach. Lord, I need your help. I want to preach on this subject, and it's really overwhelming to me when I think about it. The grace of God. Lord, thank you for your grace. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to use it wisely and not fail of the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. Wonderful words written by Julia Johnston on page 230 in our songbook. You don't have to turn to it. The music by Daniel Towner, Grace Greater Than All My Sin, was published in Hymns Tried and True, 1911. It's one of the best descriptions of God's grace put to music in our current hymnal. Interesting story about Julia Johnston. Never married. She was a daughter of a Presbyterian preacher. She wrote several songs and poems. She taught Sunday school. She taught ladies how to be Sunday school teachers. Was really a tremendous testimony for the Lord. But she wrote a great hymn, Grace Greater Than All My Sin. However, there is so much more to grace, and especially God's grace, that can further be described than just grace greater than all our sin, although that's amazing in itself. Let me first say that grace needs to be explained. And you know the definition of grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting blessings beyond what we deserve. Amen. That's the definition of grace. But the explanation of grace, many preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers, evangelists have tried to explain grace. I think one of the best acrostics that you could ever have for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's just a good way to remember. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, as soon as we say God's riches, we immediately think of material riches. But can I tell you, God's riches at Christ's expense, it goes farther beyond just material goods. There's no question that the riches of the Lord is beyond our understanding. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth of it in every mine, as the song says, and that's true. But can I tell you, silver and gold hold nothing to the riches of Christ. And our preacher's been preaching on this, how we hold a book in our hand. By the grace of God, we have the Word of God in our hands. And it's more precious than gold or silver tried in the furnace of earth. This is the truths of God are far better than silver and gold. And I don't want to minimize earthly blessings. That's certainly true. But can I tell you, you sit here tonight. If you're saved, you're sitting here listening to the Word of God by the grace of God. I think to myself of the multitude, millions and billions of people on this earth. And yet I know the Lord. I know His Word. I'm saved. I'm telling you, that's amazing to me. God's riches, then you think about this, at Christ's expense. There's no way that we can explain completely, humanly, all that Jesus went through to pay for the grace that we enjoy. The pain of the scourging before death, the sleep deprivation, the mental agony of the constant questioning of who are you, who are you, who are you, and then finally, the death on the cross. But worst of all, and I think above all, the fact that He was made to be sin for us. The God-man that never had a wicked thought, never had a wicked action, and yet He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you realize what He paid for us on the cross of Calvary? It's just amazing to me. He willingly was made to be sin for us, not forced, but accepted all the sin of all mankind. It's impossible for any one of us to understand all that Christ did for our salvation. All we can say is, thank you, Jesus, that I'm saved. Amen. Jesus truly paid it all. And we accept His grace by faith. You know the verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith. We believe that. We believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he was talking to the Corinthian people, he said, moreover, I delivered unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which is the death of Christ according to the Scriptures, burial of Christ according to the Scriptures, and the resurrection of Christ according to the Scriptures. You skip down to verse number, I think, 9 or 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. And by the way, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Amen. So grace explained. Number two, grace extended. Grace isn't automatically given to every sinful man on earth. It's the mercy of God that keeps us alive. God's mercy is what keeps every person from being destroyed. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. The very next verse says, great is thy faithfulness. If we got what we deserved, we'd spend eternity in hell. That's what we deserve, folks. It's extended to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves. It is a gift. This gift of grace is offered to us by His mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart. We say, yes, we trust Christ as our Savior. It's His mercy that keeps us going so that we might accept His grace. And so that's salvation. But can I tell you, this gift is extended. It doesn't mean it's automatically accepted. We sing the song, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain. We get down to where it says, God shed His grace on thee. You know, there's some people who think just because they were born in America, they're a Christian. Just because you're an American doesn't make you a Christian. As I say often, any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. Just because we have this, because of all the confusion in different translations and the progressives, they have now taught that this grace just is extended to everybody. Can I tell you, it's extended to everybody, but that doesn't mean everybody receives it. Noah accepted the grace of God when he lived a moral life and constructed the ark, but believed that Jesus would come someday. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's always been by grace, not by law. No one ever gets saved by law. Galatians 3:24. Noah accepted that grace. There were other people that Saul accepted the grace of God on the road to Damascus, and he was changed from Saul to Paul and preached God's grace to the known world. On and on we go, could go, of people that accepted God's grace. However, there were people that rejected God's grace. So I don't believe in irresistible grace, because if there's irresistible grace, then you also have to have irresistible damnation. You're choosing some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. I'm sorry, that's not Bible. It's whosoever will. I believe what Cain, if he would have repented and accepted the sacrifice that God made for Adam and Eve, he could have had the grace of God, but he rejected that grace. So grace is extended, but it doesn't mean it's automatically accepted. We could go on and on with people like that that rejected the grace of God. Agrippa is the great example, and many others, but Agrippa, Paul was preaching to him and pleading with him to trust Christ. And he said, almost, Paul, almost. I believe he's in hell today saying, almost, almost, almost. Almost I became a Christian. So there's possibility of rejecting that grace. Thank God, if you're saved. How many are saved? You know the Lord is your Savior? Amen. It's not because we're such good people. It's because of God's grace. It's because of God's grace. And I say this, it is truly amazing. The more I study grace, it is so amazing. So amazing. Thank God I accepted the grace of Christ when I was 14 years of age. Hallelujah for the grace of God. Thirdly, we have grace needs to be engaged. I want to make a statement. I never thought about it before, but it's true. You know, it's possible to be saved by grace, but not live by that same grace. And the case in point, Paul said to the Corinthian people, you're yet carnal. You're living fleshly. You're not living under grace. And here's where things get a little confused. Grace does not give us license to sin without consequences. On the contrary, grace gives us freedom to live above the sinful habits of our flesh and of this world. It is not just our spirit that's quickened, but our whole spirit, soul, and body should be presented blameless before the Lord. And so it's not just our spirit was regenerated when we got saved. But some people say, well, it's your spirit. It doesn't matter what your body does. I'm sorry, but it does matter what your body does. And grace doesn't give us the license to live as we want to without any repercussion or any kind of recompense to that. But the Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, verse number 17. It says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. See, God saved us not so we could live the way we want to live. God saved us so we could live the way the Lord wants us to live. You said, we can't do that. Hey, by the grace of God, we can do that. That's what he's saying. Isn't it amazing? God gives us command, then gives us the power to do it. He's a good God. Amen. Grace is to be engaged not so we can live as we please or receive all that we greed. We live without the burden of the law, but not without any law at all. Grace is engaged when we allow the righteousness of Christ to rule and reign in our whole spirit, soul, and body by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the first definitions of grace is this: elegance or beauty of form, manner, motion, or action. Now think about that definition: elegance or beauty of form, manner, motion, or action. Now let me give you a couple Bible verses. 1 Chronicles 16:29, given to the Lord the glory due into his name, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness. You say, Brother Bragg, we can't do that. Oh, but yes, we can by the grace of God. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we don't have to keep doing the same things that we've done in the flesh, because the Bible says we have the grace of God that we can overcome that. And so grace needs to be engaged. Now, I'll mention that a little bit more here in a minute. So we have grace explained. We have grace extended. We have grace engaged. Now we have grace exonerated. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bragg? Grace exonerated. The word exonerate means to be cleared of any accusation or freed from blame. Why is it that when circumstances don't go our way, the first one we blame is God? Why is it? We always, I pastored long enough to hear people say that. Some things I can't even repeat what they said. How mad they were at God. Mad at God? I deserve hell. Anything better than that's gravy. So the word exonerate means to be freed from accusation, freed from blame. Quit blaming God. It's not the grace of God that fails. Hello, class. It's not the grace of God that fails. It's we who fail the grace of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking diligently lest any fail of the grace of God. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever taken a test and failed that test? How many's ever done that? Okay. Whether it's math or history, we'll take math, okay? I won't ask the question again. You've already been honest, so some of you have. Amen. Was it the math that failed, or did you fail the math? Are you with me? Was it the history that failed, or did you fail history? Y'all with me? God's grace never fails. I'm going to say that again. God's grace never fails. It never fails. We fail the grace of God. And by the way, it says in 1 Peter 5:10, we'll turn to it in a minute, but the Bible says he's the God of all grace. You say, but Brother Bragg, you don't understand my circumstances. I don't have to. There's a God in heaven that understands, and he's the God of all grace. What grace do you need? He's got it. God said, my grace is sufficient. When we become frustrated and angry at God because his grace didn't do what we thought it should do, we accuse God's grace, and in doing so, we fail God's grace. We say, God, your grace isn't sufficient for me, when he says, my grace is sufficient for you. If our hearts are right with God as born-again believers of Christ, then there are no circumstances that God's grace cannot handle. Three times, I'll hurry here. I got three times when you need to seek God's grace. This is really the message. That was all introduction. Number one, God's grace is needed when you face physical or natural limitations. You need God's grace. We need God's grace when we face physical or natural limitations. What do you mean? Sickness, disease, cancer, death of a loved one. You need God's grace. Physical disabilities. I just can't. I'm 65 years old and I still think I can do things at 35. I think, what am I thinking? So frustrating. But the grace of God is sufficient. I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I'll show you proof text on this one. 2 Corinthians 9. Are you all with me? You okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul was saying this very thing. He said he was talking to the Lord, and he said in verse 8, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And we can all speculate.